Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I don't know, I'm kind of at a loss of words regarding the Notre Dame matter, because it seems like there are a lot of people from, I'll just say from diverse upbringings and so forth that are coming forward. I mean, like Tim Cook of Apple, that's interesting that there's a lot of different people that are throwing money in to help rebuild the a religious symbol as well as a religious piece of heritage of Christianity. So I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing or bad thing. I will just basically say that there's lots of people, and it seems like the money will be coming post-haste. There's a lot of people throwing in. It seems like that first billion is going to be covered in just a matter of a couple of days. And so that's amazing, because I believe with just a couple of, just a few donations, they're already over half a billion, pushing towards a billion. So anyway, like I said, that story's not going anywhere. It's just going to continue to grow, and we'll have all sorts of information, but it will take a while before we get down to some of the nitty gritty. And that's just because you got to remember that only America can all sorts of news break out to where we can get a real story. There are lots of constraints throughout Europe and throughout the world on what's going on. It's only American journalism that happens to penetrate like what's going on in China to help you understand just how evil that red dragon is. So anyway, I hope that life's still going good for you. I'm actually expecting a visit from Maggie during the show, but we'll see. Anywho, the number to call in if you are out and about and you can't be streaming or receiving the airwaves of Red State Talk Radio, the dial-in number is 605-562-4209. And it's very important that you understand that this show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org, and that this show's focus is not in giving you and reporting the news and letting us talk about the tragedies, letting you vent about these problems. The only reason we cover these problems, these tragedies, and these types of things is because most of these problems, most of these tragedies are either something that you better get motivated before it starts happening here, or things that we could have easily avoided had we just complied. And what is it going to take to get you to stand up and get them back, get the federal government back into compliance? So, as you know, it's all about motivation. It's all about taking that information and putting it into the proper context so people can understand that these things are affecting us. Pretty simple, right? Anyway, one of my future shows coming up, because I talked about this before, I wanted to do a special on social media, but actually it's really not just about social media, because there are companies like Google is not necessarily a social media company, but they have social media subsidiaries like YouTube and so forth. And so it's really going to be more of a focus on tech invading our society, invading our life, and trying to drive us for what, you know, for making money off of us and so forth. So what I would venture to say is that I'm going to try to create a really good comprehensive program for you so that you can understand what the heck tech is and let you know that tech is not your friend. I'm just amazed at how quick people just, you know, get on board with, you know, using their phone and having all of their data, their banking data and everything else in there with the quick pay and all of this. I'm going, you've got to be kidding me. Boy, talk about blind trust. I've got a password to get into it. it's not about whether somebody, whether you can get into it. How about somebody hacking into it via the network? There's many ways to get into a system, and most of the ways, or most people are getting into your system, not via that little interface, that screen that you tap on. They are coming in via the network. And so I think it's really important that we help you and help expose some of these things and how they're all fitting together. Because if you want to start understanding the deep state, the deep state just isn't the government. These tech industries are a part of that as well. We've been exposing Google for this as well. So with that, let me do a little bit of groveling. And that groveling is, it's the same old thing. If you want to get involved, if you want to help support us, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. You still drinking coffee? You need to get the Red State Coffee Grinds. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. We have a new our new sponsors announced right there on the homepage. And I think we've updated the sponsors page. Probably not. But you've got a link that takes you right to the eBay page where you can buy your coffee. Give it a try. And as a matter of fact, try 1 pound. Just get yourself some coffee and let me know what you think. How good is it? How happy are you with the product? Because these proprietors that are selling this, they actually sell, like I said, Gold Star Coffee and other things. And they actually take a percentage of their profits and they contribute to different organizations and so forth. I need to get these ads cut so that we can start running them on a regular basis, on a daily basis, other than just doing these personal endorsements, just to make my life a little simpler. But I'm telling you that this is a very patriotic company, and I'm hoping that you can start getting your coffee from them so that you can actually start contributing, you know, to both, you know, that relaxing cup of Joe, as well as contributing to further the cause in saving the Constitution and helping those who have given the ultimate sacrifice, or I should say the families of those warriors who have given the ultimate sacrifice for this country. So great company. Can't say enough about it. We'll be talking more about this, and we'll eventually get the proprietor on so that we can talk real quick about the company, what they do, and what they're about, so that you can hear it for yourself. It's not just me giving you hyperbole. I also want you to know that we have this GoFundMe campaign. It is Reclaiming the Republic. Link to that on the homepage as well of reclaimingtherepublic.org. There's all sorts of ways. You hear me say this all the time. We need your help. And it's not about money. If you can help in any way, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Go to theconstitutionclub.ning.com and or Google the Constitution Club or DuckDuckGo, the Constitution Club. We got to stop using Google. I got to make a better effort in saying DuckDuckGo, Constitution Club, and then go there, sign up, and get involved with those folks. We need to start working more and more. We need to actually start rubbing and supporting, because this is exactly how the left are so successful in, you know, getting the, you know, all of their agenda by removing prayer from school. I mean, they removed prayer from school right in the middle of, you know, a lot of conservative folks. We were a very conservative nation at that point in time. And when they started pouring on the welfare and socialism, people were looking at it and going, really? Well, it's for the kids or what have you. We were far more constitutional, far more conservative back in those days. Think about it. And today, it's almost like, you know, why not just let, you know, sell your house and let the government take care of you? Why not let the government just do everything for us? Centralize all powers to the government, because that's where the kids coming out of the school system are leaning. That's how they believe life would be better served if we were serving government. Remember, don't ask what the government can do for you. Ask what you can do for your government. that may become the mantra of the new communist wave in America. The other organization you want to get involved with, before I forget, before we go into break, is Our First Right. They want to help, and if you want to help get this amendment passed, this is an effort to improve representation to guarantee that every 50,000 people are represented by a representative in the House of Representatives in Congress. Yeah, it would explode the Congress, but that's a good thing because then we displace all the slime that's in there today. There are some negatives to that. We may have more Islamic terrorists, or I should say Islamic activists, whatever you want to call it. We'll get into that a little bit later today in some marketing, but it's just like communists. Everybody has their agenda, and they're driving their agenda. Islamists, they want Sharia law. They want to be able to impose their ideologies on you. They do not want to tolerate your Christianity. They're almost, because Christianity is such a bad thing as the paradigm is in America today, because the government is anti-Christian, it's almost like they're more willing to embrace Jews and the Jewish way of life than they are Christianity. I mean, how far off are we here? Because if you understand the sons of Ishmael, they embraced Judaism and Christianity until Islam came along. So with that, I don't want to bleed into the break itself. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Well, let me just prod you. Are you doing anything to help promote the constitutional awareness for Constitution Day coming up in September? If you are, send me an email. We're very interested to, and maybe we'll even plug it. If we're not overwhelmed, I'd be happy to plug what people are doing. So my preference would be that we are overwhelmed and that we just don't have enough room to tell everybody all the different things that are going on. But by all means, let's get it started. And if we get to a point where we can't, so if you want to plan something, start planning it and let us know, That way we can start sharing this new concept of raising constitutional awareness in this constitutional republic, okay? Because there's going to be lots of people already that are going to be all ripe for celebrating the Declaration of Independence, and then that's it. And that's sad. It's pathetic. Because it's not about our independence from Britain anymore. It's about our protection and our individual liberty and individual sovereignty that is guaranteed by our Constitution. That is a far more important matter, and it is far more, to me, important to ensure that people are becoming aware and learning this, because there's just way too many people that do not understand the Constitution. And as I always scan the news, there is no news that the federal government is doing anything to disband any of their tyrannical roles or unconstitutional usurpations of states' rights. So one of the things that I think is really important is that I help teach you, help motivate you, help give you these stories, these news, and give you the angle or the perspective of, you know, all these things about education, you know, forcing kids into learning concepts of sexual gender dysphoria and all of these types of things. They have no business doing this. The federal government has no business mandating and ramming the fact is, they took prayer out of the school, and now they're mandating SOGI and, you know, sexual orientation and gender identity type of education. You got to be kidding me. How is that not a religious dogma? It's an evil, bad dogma, and it is taking us back and debasing us. I've talked about this before. When people started talking about, going back to the 80s or going back to the Stone Age because we're anti-homosexual. No. We're an enlightened society that has moved away from the debasement of instant gratification and so forth. And enlightenment means that we're trying to function and live by the standards of what I would call natural law, things that are absolute benefits to society. We do not benefit society by turning children over to a bunch of perverts, especially when those perverts are those who cannot participate in the process of making children. Children are the byproduct of heterosexuality and the normalcy of our society. And so that's why enlightenment actually doesn't pay credence and doesn't mollycoddle these types of behaviors, these types of paradigms. That's why we were such a strong nation. I mean, we became so great because of our moral convictions and because of our moral values. These aren't me saying this. Alexis de Tocqueville said this. He said, America is great because America is good. He didn't find America great in the city halls and the public buildings. He found America that was great in the churches, because we lived by the higher law of religion, and we didn't allow our government to dictate all these facets of our lives. And that's why we now have a government that is doing that. And that's because they're getting away with actually instituting religion into our lives. Their secular, godless religion. And you got to give it to them. Boy, they do not sleep. Evil does not sleep. They're constantly coming after you and I. So, excuse me. So, like I said, I don't know when. Let me start moving forward on some news and some marketing. But let me actually, I got to finish the topics that I want to cover with Dr. John Arvile. And I don't have time to do my G. Edward Griffin interview today. I will get that in before the end of the week, but I don't want to, you know, not finish this thought on this. I do know that upcoming, I will be providing you a good little expose on tech and how tech has become a big part of the problem. And you're not going to want to miss this, because, you know, how these things are all working together and how this stuff is all coming out. I don't know if it's just coincidence or if it is by design that we're actually starting to peek and see behind the curtain what the heck and who is doing some of these things. And I'm telling you, you're going to find government involved in this stuff. So don't be surprised when this stuff comes up. So anyway, let me get back into these upcoming interviews with Dr. John Arvile. I want to kind of go over and encapsulate the content that we've already kind of covered here, but I kind of want to encapsulate my perspective so that we can kind of gauge that against the perspective of what I would consider a good, solid academe. And yesterday, I was mentioning the rescission of the 17th Amendment. This is a good issue because I don't believe there's an argument against it. I do believe that there will be pushback. There's a lot of people that won't like it. But what do you do when all of a sudden states actually start rescinding their ratification of the 17th Amendment and reject it? Because Delaware was able to reject their rejection and rescinded their rejection and formally ratified the 17th Amendment. So in other words, if Delaware can change their position in 2010, every other state can do the same. That door is open. There's no limitation to that because obviously it was almost 100 years from when Delaware rejected the 17th Amendment in 1913. In 2010, 90 some odd years later, they said, you know what, we made a mistake. We want to rescind our ratification, and the government took it. So with that, I truly believe that we just need to get enough states. We got seven, so I think we only need to get six states more to get the 13 necessary to rescind the 17th Amendment. And I want to have this conversation because this has never been done before. But the whole concept of the fact that a state can actually change their voting, their position on a amendment and it counting means that the door has to swing both ways. And there's enough states that find the 17th Amendment repugnant because they are no longer being represented. As I mentioned yesterday, I've talked to a lot of legislators, and every time they try to call or talk to their senators and go, you've got to do this, come to find out their senators don't even listen. They may give them, you know, some platitudes, and they may, you know, give them some rhetoric, but they do not do anything for the states like they're supposed to. So I think this is a great conversation, and I'm going to give the good doctor some information that he can kind of read, and then we can, you know, get into a good discussion on, you know, what he thinks would happen. I truly believe that this, you know, Congress may try to intervene, or definitely the Senate will try to intervene because they're going to do everything they can to protect themselves because most of those guys know that they're as good as gone. I'm here to tell you that Mitt Romney will probably not make it back into the Senate just because if the state of Utah, now the legislatures have the ability to pick, I don't think they're going to pick him. So with that, I truly believe that we're going to see some interesting dynamics, but the conversation is what you're going to want to catch. And so we'll find out whether we, you know, have a dog in this fight, whether we have some legitimacy in moving down this path, or what would really happen if states started doing this. If states said, you know what, we're done with this, and they started going down the path of rescinding, and then once they've rescinded the 17th Amendment, even if the government refuses to rescind it, they stop. What will happen? Will the president or the vice president of the Senate, the vice president of the United States, who's the president of the Senate, will he refuse, or will the majority of the Senate, like Mitch McConnell, will he refuse to seat these new senators that are being appointed by state legislators because they have constitutionally rescinded their set? Show me in the Constitution where you can't do that. Show me in the Constitution where they, because they already allowed another state to do it. You got to let it happen, and you got to let it unravel. and it makes everything else suspect, right? But this is the only time I'm aware of where a state has rescinded and changed its position. Now, there may be other amendments out there, but there's no other amendment that is so highly debated and steeped with controversy like the 17th Amendment. So I just think that this one topic alone is probably a lot of gold, and I think there's going to be some gold nuggets in this conversation with Dr. Vile, because we actually had a pretty good, stimulated conversation regarding this about 2 years ago. And so with the fact that we're moving forward on it is good, and I just want to make it for the record so that you can hear what an academ says and what will happen, what could happen, and whether it's even viable. We will be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So the next topic I want to talk to the good doctor about is reparations. So as I presented these topics to him, he didn't understand or he didn't see the hooks or the how these things aligned with the Constitution. And I've talked about this reparations a few times. I've poked some people in the eye over this because, as you understand, reparations, slavery itself was not a constitutional matter. In other words, it was up to the states to choose for themselves. It was a state issue. The federal government was only delegated very specific powers. And so what's interesting, and here's an irony and an ironic twist, if you understand that the federal government had no power over slavery, that that was a state's issue, then in the 1920s, when the federal government went to the states and said, hey, let us regulate labor. And the states rejected that because it would have been the same thing. It would have almost been the same thing as the federal government regulating slavery as well. But today, the progressives are loving the fact that the federal government is regulating labor. My friends, this is all about slavery. What the progressives and communism, that is slavery. It just has, instead of a local, you know, master, it is this ambiguous master of government and whoever the bureaucracies are that's driving it. But it's the same thing. And so isn't it a paradox? Isn't it hypocrisy that the left wants to speak and demand, especially the extreme radical left like Al Sharpton, in demanding for reparations? And so here's my point. If you look at the matter of slavery, slavery was not a sanctioned thing. So the only place that you can go and actually obtain reparations would be from those states, possibly. But I still think that the reparations, the concept of reparations, was to pay somebody for something that was lost by the changing of government. Slaves obtained freedom. What they lost was a permanency of labor and no control over their life. The slave master had what they considered property, and I'm not supporting, believe me, I'm anti-slavery, whether it be government or what have you. But the point is that the slave masters, because they had all this commerce, because they were considered an integral part of the economic engine, England actually paid reparations to the slave owners so that the slave owners then had an influx of cash to help pay for the labor, so that if anybody wanted to work for them, they could be an at-will employee and they can pay people for, you know, the cost of doing the job instead of them being slaves. And so, and if you read George Fitzhugh's concepts of slavery, you could tell this guy was just a huge advocate for communism, because George Fitzhugh believed that slavery shouldn't have been just limited to blacks in America. It should have been actually instituted for all the common folk, that only the elite should be able to be free, that everybody else would be better off if they were slaves. They would be able to have their own health care provided for them, their own food, and they wouldn't have to suffer. And the way this guy talked, it's just like, you've got to be kidding me. And it's the same thing. If you just changed his words from slavery to communism, I mean, it just dovetails perfectly. But I'd like to get the good doctor's opinion and his historical views on slavery and the position that the federal government had regarding slavery. The only position that the federal government did was the 3/5 rule and the 1808 shutting down the slavery trade of influxing and bringing immigrants and so forth into the United States. So I think this will be a very fascinating topic and discussion, especially getting, because Dr. Vile has a great breadth of knowledge on the history and all these other things. So I'm just looking forward to seeing what he has to say regarding reparations within our Constitutional Republic and these notions of trying to move forward with that type of concept. Now, another thing that I would like to get his concept on, which is becoming a huge, if you want to call it a campaign issue, let's call it a huge, it's an issue. It's a campaign issue. Medicare for All. The concept is that what they're calling single-payer health care, Medicare for All. But instead of calling it single-payer health care, they just say Medicare for All, because most people don't know what the heck Medicare is. I think most people from the Obamacare and the Hillary Care issues and the education and everything else, people started understanding, hey, single-payer is not a good thing, because that means that the government is actually just going to cover everything, and they're just going to take what they need to cover everybody's butt. And so Medicare for All is just a facade in instituting and nationalizing healthcare permanently. It's a very scary thing. And the fact that the federal government never amended the Constitution in granting them this power, and how they're, this move is a socialist communist move that is not allowed within the Constitution. So I want to see what his take is on this from both a constitutional level, as well as just see what the good doctor feels about this personally. Because I think if you start talking to those people who believe government, you know, can solve all our problems, those people are lost. Those people truly believe that government is the solution and not the problem. And I don't know how we're going to fix them other than saying, you know, there's other countries we can send you to where you can be, you know, so happy in bliss with a government that is going to take care of every little thing you think that you want to have them take care of. So get his both a personal and a historical, as well as the constitutionality of this concept of single-payer healthcare system. The other topic, another topic that I want to talk to him about, is this concept of our first right and this group that's out there trying to ratify the First Amendment and trying to actually bring representation down to 50,000 people. I think it's going to be a fascinating conversation, because this is where we get into the whole concept of republicanism and representation. And same thing with the 17th Amendment. So these two topics, ratifying of the First Amendment within the Bill of Rights, as well as the recension of the 17th Amendment, I'll probably dovetail them together or put them close so that we can go from one to the next. And I want to get a good feel on the academic side of what he thinks, because he'll have to agree that this would completely displace the swamp. It would force representation back to your local communities, because the Congress cannot accommodate 6,000 congressmen. And if he's against this, then why would he think that a cap on limitations of representations to where it could go to 2 million, 5 million, 10 million? Really? Are we being represented by one representative who represents 10 million? That's ludicrous. Or even 1 million? That's ludicrous. 50,000, that makes more sense, because I, as a person, can kind of recognize a lot of people. And I may not recognize all my constituents, but, you know, if I was a representative of 50,000, it would be a lot easier for me to do that than it would be for, let's just say, a million. So let's get into that conversation. And then the other conversation, because this has become such a red herring that, you know, it just actually is repugnant to anything considering the Constitution and free agency, individual liberty, individual sovereignty, and the concept of white privilege. How has the Constitution created white privilege when almost anybody has been able to come here and be successful? And I know he can recite, and I could probably recite, several different non-white folks in the early days and throughout history in the United States of people coming here and succeeding and creating businesses and so forth, to where we're going, really? Do you really believe that white privilege is a problem, that it even exists? I think these concepts, because as I put these into perspective, what about Japanese privilege in Japan? What about black privilege in many of the countries in Africa? What about Latino privileges in all the Latino countries where, you know, really? White privilege? And so it's like, to me, it's a reckless leap of stupidity, because it's like somebody jumping into what we'd call hot water, or a spring or a well water, you know, that's like in Yellowstone, without really testing the water to find out how hot it is, and come to find out you're jumping into boiling water. Anyway, We've got a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
So, moving off of reparations and white privilege, and let's jump into some... Actually, these are some stories I noticed yesterday that I saw on Fox that, you know, gave me kind of a different outlook on not just Trump's foreign policies, but where we need to be as a nation. And so looking at Hungary, it seems like Hungary out of Europe is really getting it. There are some other European nations, but it seems like most of them are either so deep in debt that they need these other productive countries to help them. And Hungary is one of them. I'm looking at how the diplomat with Pompeo had our Secretary of State going out and actually, you know, talking about these migrations and so forth. I think that we need to really look at how Hungary has basically come right out, and this is big. They've come right out and praised Trump, in contrast to the globalist push that they have gotten from the Bushes, Clintons, and the final barrage of whining and complaining from the Obama administration and their apologist tours and so forth. The Hungary's populist government is brimming with confidence after a comfortable election win this April here. And it is pushing ahead with very tough policies on immigration. The people of Hungary are fed up. They're not buying it anymore. You got to remember that they were sold a bill of goods with communism. Unlike America, they've been trying to sell us. And now that Hungary is in a position to actually be able to control and maintain their sovereignty and their freedoms and liberties, they're not about to give it up. And to me, it is a huge contrast with what the heck's going on here. And the fact is that they're pushing these policies on immigration and combating the influence of the left-wing Hungarian / American billionaire George Soros. That's right, Soros from Hungary, who lives in America. I mean,
just that concept alone, the fact that he lives in America and we've never arrested, how come Congress has never subpoenaed his butt in to say, why are you pouring all this money into these things and then pass laws like what Hungary is doing? So yesterday, actually, I think it was Wednesday last week, Hungary's parliament, yeah, it was Wednesday last week, the Hungary's parliament passed the the Stop Soros bill, including a measure making it illegal for non-government organizations, we formerly called or typically called NGOs, to organize illegal immigration into their country. Why don't we do that? We have way too many people that are working here to destroy America, and we need to make that illegal. Such organizations can range from financial support to the distribution and the preparation of information and pamphlets to help bring people there in selling them this concept of come to the big retailer of America or Hungary or what have you. So this new Hungary law would punish individuals engaging in such activities of up to 12 months in jail. The government also is floating this 25% tax for any foreign funding for NGOs helping migrants. I think that it ought to be a 90% tax. I think they ought to decimate these guys instead of just a 25% tax. And this was the comment out of Orban's office. And so it basically says, this strengthened protection is needed because the mass immigration afflicting Europe is continuous, while the Soros network and the pro-immigration policy of Brussels are creating the threat of attempts to also swamp our country with migrants. And so they're putting it out there, my friends. They're saying no more. We're not doing this. And I my hat's off to Orban and what he's doing there. So now it's time to calm down a little bit and let's talk about peace. It's time to kind of reflect on the importance of peace and, more importantly, the religion of peace. And I find it funny that the Fox is kind of exposed, and this is going out. And what hypocrisy from the left, how they're embracing Islam and so forth. So Fox has exposed a leading academic and a cleric in Qatar, where the World Cup is going. They're the host country for the World Cup. And this guy has filmed I'll even use the words, a tantalizing video that will insult you on almost every core value that you have. And it is a guide on how Muslim men should beat their wives. This video features this clerk or this academic, whatever you want to call him, Abd al-Aziz al-Jakuj or Raj. Anyway, he's demonstrating how to successfully punish a woman in accordance with Islamic law. Now, the thing you got to take away from this is the in accordance with Islamic law. Right now, Sharia law isn't invoked here. Sharia law is only invoked in a few nations. And go look at where women play a role. Women are used as a facade. I think Saudi Arabia just sent an ambassador to the United States. It's a woman. They're using a woman to make us think that they're women friendly, but go and look at how they scourge their women and how they treat them as second class citizens. But that's okay. We can't figure these things out for ourselves. We just go by what they tell us and who they send to us. So in a further shock move, this sociologist, academe, or this cleric, whatever you want to call him, used a schoolboy to show how delivering beatings out of love so that a woman can feel a man's strength. He disgustingly said that some women enjoyed being married to violent and powerful husbands. So I thought about that. I thought about that quote. And I said, I wonder if these punishments are appropriate under Islamic law for congresswomen. Yep, I just said it. If you prescribe to this religion, and if this man is academically supporting this all under Islamic law, then I wonder if it's appropriate that Muslim congresswomen can and maybe should be punished so that they can feel the love and strength of their husband. Don't know, but I do know that there's a doctrine called Taqiyya, which is the doctrine of deceit, lies, and so forth. Look it up. It is a Islamic doctrine, and it is one of those things that, you know, we're supposed to believe. Oh, look at how the people we are dealing with in leadership positions, is it ironic that it's only women instead of men? Because it is the men that would, you know, over time expose some of these things, but the women, maybe they're just smarter. But this is like a Trojan horse. They're trying to sell us on this concept that, oh no, they're friendly towards women, when we're hearing, and they've got to be ashamed that this video actually reached us, and now they've got to do a bunch of damage control regarding the information and how these facts are being displayed, because this isn't good. This doesn't bode well for the promotion of Islam, at least with half of the people in the world, I would think, especially half of the non-Muslim women, you know, in the world, right? Anyway, I even commented on this. I think that that's why there are a lot of very specific demographics that are migrating towards Islam, because the men that are gravitating towards this like that level of control and that authoritarian perspective. So on the heels of all this regarding the open door policy on the religion of peace, just this week, India's Supreme Court agreed, I think it was yesterday, to consider a petition from a Muslim couple to allow women into mosques, seeking to overturn a centuries and centuries practice. I think this goes all the way back to Muhammad, that women were barred from places of worship because of their filth and because of their evilness. I mean, I'm not saying that the women are that way. That is the religious doctrine, and that's why they've been barred, and that's why they're treated like second-class citizens. If you want a really good book to read, go read The Politically Incorrect Truth on Islam and the Crusades by, I think it's Spencer. Robert Spencer. He's written a lot of books. Go read these books. He talks about the doctrines. He is a foremost authority in exposing a lot of these things. Or just connect with ACT. They are huge in, you know, trying to expose these types of things. I did want to say that I find it interesting that the Democrats are continuing to try to prove this collusion as they subpoena the Dutch bank. Oh, well, that's German. I guess it's not collusion, as they're trying to go after Trump as his go-to lender. It's ironic that they're doing anything and everything they can to destroy our republic. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm restoring and reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless. We'll be back tomorrow. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review, so please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty.